Okay, we're holding in Erevin Daf Chaf Tet, or the bottom of Chaf Chet Amud Bet. Gufa Amar Yehuda Amar Rav Keshut V'Chaziz Ma'arvin Ve'en. Hops and green grains you can use as an Eruv. So we're talking about the different foods that can be used to make your Eruv. V'archin Alem Bor Pri'adama. Furthermore, their bracha upon them is Bor Pri'adama. Keshut B'Kama. Now, how much hops is needed to forge an Eruv? Because there's a minimum amount of food, it should generally be about the amount for two meals. As Rabbi Yechiel said, in a different context, there needs to be a handful. This too needs to be a handful. Chaziz b'kama. And what about green grains? Amar Rav Tuvia Bar Yitzchak. Amar Rav Kimlo Uzita Di Ikra. Right, a full farmer's bundle. Amar Rav Chilkia Bar Tuvia Ma'arvin Bekilia Bekilia Sal Kedaitach Ela Biyarka De Kilia. So you can make an Erev with something called Kilia, which is not really a food item. And so we ask, really, you can make it with kilia, rather with the plants planted to produce the kilia, but not the kilia itself. V'chama, how much do you need in order to make the eruv? Amar Rav Yechiel kimlo hayad, a handful. Rabbi Yirmiya nafak lekiriyata. So Rabbi Yirmiya went to a certain village. Ba'u mine ma'ulare v'pulin lachin. Can you make an eruv with wet beans? Lo have biyada. He didn't know. He had to live in midrash. When he came to the midrash, Hamurle hachiyam Rabbi Yanai Marvin Pulin Lachin. So Rabbi Yanai said that you're allowed to v'chama. And how much do you need? Amar v'chil kamal yada, a handful. Amar Rav Abnuna Marvin betardin chayin. Eni v'amar Rav Chizda silka chaya katil gavrochia. You can make an eruv with raw beets. And is that really the case? Didn't Rav Chizda say that that live beets, meaning uncooked beets, kills a live person? Meaning they're very dangerous. Or Yahu bishil v'lo bashil. What he meant by live beets was that it was undercooked, right? So if you start cooking, but it's undercooked, that's when it's dangerous. But if it's completely raw, it's not. Yigid amri amar Rav Abnuna in Marvin b'tardin chayin. Damar Rav Chizda silka chaya katil gavra chaya. Right? Those who tell the exchange in the following manner, that you're not allowed to make an eruv with raw beets, because Rav Chizda said that raw beets can kill someone. But wait, don't we see that people do eat these and they don't die? Isn't that it? So they're clearly not so dangerous. Yeah, where it's partially cooked, that's where it's an issue. But if it's not partially cooked, completely raw, then it's fine, right? And so that can be used as an eruv. Amar Rav Chizda Tavshil Shota, or rather, that's what you see people eating, the completely raw ones, right? So it's just a different version of that. Amar Rav Chizda Tavshil Shota, Din Yafel Levitov Leinayim V'Chol Shekein Levnei Ma'ayim. If you make a cooked beet dish, it's good for the heart, it's good for the eyes, and good for the intestines. Amar Abaye V'Hu Diyativ Abay Tvei V'Afid Tuchtuch. Right, as long as it's been on the stove long enough that it's been brought to a boil, so it's cooked properly. Amar Rava Harini Kiven Azai B'Shuge Tiveria. Amar Le Hahu Merabana L'Rava. Tapuchim v'chama, amar le v'chim arvim tapuchim. So Rava says that he was similar to Ben Azai, and Ben Azai would frequently answer questions in the markets of Tveria, and so one rabbi asked Rava to see if he was really as sharp as he claimed to be, as sharp as Ben Azai, how many apples do you need in order to create an eruv? And Rava responded to him, can someone really make an eruv with apples? Velo, well, can they not make an eruv with apples? V'atanan, then we learn in Mishnah, kol ochlim starfin v'solta gvia b'chetzi pras m'zon shtei sudot le'eruv v'beitza tamil t'umata ochlim. Right, so we learn that all foods, any and all foods, they combine to render a Kohen impure if he had chetzi pras, if he had half a loaf of that food, if not just, if he had different foods combined that equaled half a loaf and they were tameh, then he's going to be tameh. They all can combine to constitute two meals for an eruv, and they all can combine to constitute a kibetza needed in order to be considered tameh. So basically, you would need a minimum of a beitza in order for the food to be tameh, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be that one food is a beitza, rather, even if all of them together. But all foods combine to create these things, meaning that all foods combine to create an eruv. Seemingly, apples are included. V'hai, my tuvta. Well, what's your kasha based on this Mishnah? Ilei mishum dekatani kol ha'ochlin. If it's because it says all foods. Vahani bnei achila ninhu, and apples are edible. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan ilamidim eklalot v'afilu b'makom shnevar b'chutz. Right, but we just learned earlier that Rabbi Yochanan says that you can't, that just because something says all, even if it then brings exceptions afterward, does not mean you consume that's literally anything. Ela mishum dekatani, rather, that's not the proof we're trying to bring. Rather, it's because it says u'mizon shrei sudot le'eru v'chavetz l'tamei tumar ochlim, because it says. It says that they can combine things that combine for the sustenance of two meals worth for an eruv and a kibetza to contract the tuma that can apply to foods. And these apples can become tame, so we assume that apples can also be can add up to two seudas worth for an eruv. Meaning we're learning out from the juxtaposition. Right? We're saying all foods can do these things. One of the things that all foods can do is contract tuma in the size of a kibetza when joined together, and apples can contract tuma when they're the size of a kibetza. So we have to assume that apples can also add together to form an eruv. V'chama, I'm Rav Nachman tepuchim b'kav. Right. So and now, how much is the minimum amount of apples needed for an eruv? It's a kav. Meitive. So Rishum ben Lazar, we can suggest a contradiction. We can object to the previous statement made through the following. Rishum ben Lazar said that when you're distributing food to the poor, there's a minimum that you should really be giving them, right? So you have to give an ukla, which is a 1/8 of a lug of spices, and a liter of vegetables, and 10 nuts, or 5 peaches, and 2 pomegranates, and 1 citron, an etrog. V'amar gursak bar dare, mishmei derav menasia bar sheguvli, mishmei derav v'chein le'eruf, v'haninami lehavu ki afarsakin. Right? And Rav Menasseh bar Gursak, the son of Dare, said in the name of Rav Menasseh bar Shegulve, who said in the name of Rav, that the same is true when it comes to an Eruv. Now, what we said is that five peaches were the minimum significant amount that you should be giving to a poor person. And then we said that these amounts are similar to that of what you should be using for an eruv. Now, apples are about the same size as a peach, so seemingly you should have 5 apples needed and not 2 apples, as we said earlier. Hani chashivei v'hani lo chashivei. No, these apples are... Sorry, we didn't say 2 apples. We said kav of apples. And what we're saying here is that peaches are more significant than apples. So peaches are okay if it's just 5, but the apples, you need a larger amount because they're not as important. Amar Rav Yosef, Sharele Mare Lirav Menasia Bar Shiguvli, Ana Amita Nihale Amatnitin Vihu Amra Abraita. So Rav Yosef said, Master, meaning God, forgive Rav Menasia Bar Shiguvli, because I said it to him in the name of a Mishnah, and then he quoted it in the name of a Braita, right? So he really should have taught it as being a proof from a Mishnah. Instead, he taught it as being a proof from a Braita. So please excuse that terrible error. The Tanan, as we learned in a Mishnah, ein potchin l'ani begoren mechetzi kav chitin vekav seorin. Because we learned in a Mishnah that you don't give a poor person who comes to the threshing floor, less than half a kav of wheat, or a kav of barley. Now, Rabbi Meir presents a different shita, chatzi kav seorin, half a kav of barley, v'kav v'chatzi kusmin, and a kav and a half of, and a kav and a half of spelt. The kav grugrot o mane devela, and a kav of dried figs or a mane of pressed figs. Rabbi Kiva Omer. Then Rabbi Kiva argues on all these shitas. Pras chvechetzi log yain. So Rabbi Kiva says that it can't be a mane, rather half a mane, and half a log of wine, Rabbi Kiva Omer Revit, Rabbi Kiva says that has to be a full Revit Shemen, or a full Revit of oil, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva similarly says, Shminit, that 1/8 of a log is sufficient, Ushar Kol HaPeirot, and by all other fruits, Abba Shaul holds as follows: Kadesh Yim Karem Vikach Ben Mizon Shdei Sudot. Enough that they could sell them and then purchase 2 meals worth. Amar Rav Vechulin LeEruv Vechen LeEruv. And then Rav says, and all these measurements, by the way, that we just provided, are the same measurements when it comes to Eruv. So we should have learned from there the measurements from Eruv, whereas we quoted them earlier as learning from the Braita. But here, you see, you could have learned them from a Mishnah. Umay ulme dahai mehach. Oh, you know, was it so bad that he learned it from a Mishnah, from a Braita? Why is the Mishnah any stronger of a source than the Braita? Ilay mishum dekatani bach tavlin v'tavlin lav bnei achilin inhu. If it's because we taught in the Braita about spices, and spices are not bar achila, so better to use the Mishnah, which only talks about things that can be eaten, and not spices, which are not edible items, right? And that's why we'd rather use the Mishnah, because we're talking about an Eruv that needs to be edible. Atu hacha milo katani chitim isorin. But the Mishnah teaches barley and wheat are not edible as they are. So they're also not bnei achila. So the Mishnah seems to have no strength over the Braita. Elam mishum dekatani chetzi log yain. Right? Rather, it's because the Mishnah gives the measurement of half a log of wine. V'ama Rav, and Rav says, ma'arvin mishtei reviot shel yain. That you make an Eruv with 2 reviot of yain, midabainan kulehai, shemamina, ki amarav, vechen le'eruv, aha matnita, kamar shemamina. So since the Mishnah mentions half a log of wine, and Rav required half a log of wine for an Eruv, it stands to reason that when Rav was commenting, he was commenting on this Mishnah, which spoke about wine, and not the Braita, which did not speak about wine. Amar mar, uv mazon shtei sudot le'eruv. So you need the food for 2 meals in order to constitute an Eruv. Savar Rav Yosef Lememar, ad ika suud mehai v'suud mehai. Amar le Rava afilu mechta l'shlish l'rviya. I may have assumed that two suudas worth of foods means that I need a full 2 suudas of whatever food that I'm using, right? But Rava said to him that no, even if you break it up into different parts, where you have a third of this food or a fourth of this food, but ultimately, if they all, meaning half of this food, a third of this food, a fourth of this food, if combined, they equal 2 seudas, even though they're multiple different foods, it's fine. Kufa amar Rav ma'arvin b'shtei reviot shel yain. We mentioned that Rav says that you can make an Eruv with 2/4 of wine. Umi bayinan kulehai, and is that much wine really necessary? V'atani demilu nebrayt, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, yayin kedi le'echol bo. Right, just enough wine so that you would, the amount of wine that would generally accompany your eating. Chometz kedi le'tal bo, and vinegar enough to accompany how much vinegar you would generally need for 2 seudas worth of food that you would like to dip into vinegar. Zeitim mitzalim kedi le'echol ben shtei seudot, right? And onions and olives, enough that would generally accompany 2 meals worth, right? But clearly from here we see that you don't need 2 full reviot of wine, just the amount of wine that would generally accompany 2 sudas. Hatam b'chama mevashla. Right, so there we're talking about cooked wine, right? So cooked wine is very strong, and so a very small amount would be enough, just the amount that would accompany 2 meals. However, if you're talking about uncooked wine, you're going to need 2 reviot. Amar mar, chometz kedatav bo, vinegar, enough vinegar that you would be able to dip 2 meals worth of food into it, as you would generally do. Amar rav gidol, amar rav kedatav bo, mazon shtei sudot shel yerach. Right? So how much vinegar you need? Enough so that you have enough to dip 2 meals worth of vegetables in the vinegar. Not 2 full meals worth of just vegetables, rather the vegetables that you would normally find in 2 meals into the vinegar. Meaning the difference is, are we talking about 2 full meals that are constituted by only vegetables? Or you have 2 full meals. Now, how many vegetables do you generally have in 2 full meals? You consider it, it's like a side dish on the side. That amount, the amount of vegetables you generally have in 2 full meals, you would need the amount of vinegar you would generally need for those vegetables. Hamamar zeitum ubitzalim kedei leichol ben zeitum ubitzalim kedei leichol ben mazon shtei sudot. Right, enough olives and onions that you would generally eat over the course of two meals. Ubitzalim mimarvin. Can you really use onions to make an eruv? V'hatanya amar Rishum ben Elazar pam achat shavat Rabbi Meir be'ar diska uva'adam echad lefanav amar lo Rabbi Iravta ubitzalim le'tiv eid v'shivu Rabbi Meir be'arba amot shelo. That one time, Rishum ben Elazar said that one time Rabbi Meir was in Ardiskia, and a certain person came up to him and told him that he used onions to make his Eruv, and Rabbi Meir didn't let him leave his Dalad Amot. Similarly, you're not allowed to use onions to make an Eruv. Lokash, that's not difficult to Habalim Habi Imot. Right? We're talking about the difference between using onion bulbs, which are allowed, and the leaves, which are not allowed. Detanya, I wrote in the Braita, Achal Batzal Vahishkim Vemeid, Enom Mimamet. If someone ate a raw onion and then he died, we don't have to wonder what he died from, because we know what he ate was dangerous. Vamar Shmuel, Loshanu El Ba'alim. Right? And when we taught about that, that a person that we don't wonder what he died from, we're talking about when he ate the leaves. But if he ate the bulbs, we do not assume that that's what he died from. Right? And the even the leaves, we don't say, unless the onion has gotten as big as a zirta. If the onion is a full zirta, then we don't assume that the leaves are so damaging anymore. And we're only talking about when it's dangerous if you don't afterward have beer. But if you do after you eat it have beer, then you're fine. Tanobanan lo yechal adam batzal mipnei nachashabo. You shouldn't eat raw onion because of the poison in it. Umaseh b'Rabbi Chanina she'achal chatzi batzal v'chatzi nachash shabo v'chalav v'natalamut. And the one time Rabbi Chanina ate half an onion and he consumed, you know, half of the poison, half the toxins in the onion, and he was about to die. Bikshu chaveru v'rachamim ala v'chayim mipnei shashat v'chalav. And his friends davened for him that he should live, and he pulled through because he was really, really needed for his generation. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Shmuel, Shechar Ma'arvin Ba Uposel at the Mikvah B'Shloshet Lugin. You're allowed to use beer for an Eruv, and if you have three lug of beer in a mikvah, it passes the mikvah. Matkith Rav Kana, Pshita. Rav Kana challenges, isn't that obvious? V'chima ben zeh lemeit seva. We already know that colored water passes the mikvah with three lug. Wouldn't I assume that beer also does? Ditnan, Riosi Amar meit seva poslin tzah mikvah b'shloshet lugin amri hata maya tzivah mikri hachashichar dikri. Right, as we learned, as we already had learned, that Riosi says that colored water passes the mikvah with three lug, and they responded to that's talking that colored water still has the same water. Right, and so you'd assume that it has the same water, and so that's a problem because you're in a mikvah that is not proper water. However, beer, which doesn't have the same water, maybe it's not mitzdarif to the mikvah at all, and so it's not considered like you have a mikvah with problematic liquid in it. Right, the two things just don't go together. Ubekama me'arvin. Now, how much do you need in order to make an eruv? Savar Ravacha bered Rav Yosef, kamed Rav Yosef lemeimar betrein ruvein shichra. Right, so Ravacha, son of Rav Yosef, thought to say as follows: it should really be two revit of two revit of shechar, two revit of beer. Kedisnan, and why would he say that? As we learned in the Mishnah, motzi yain kedem zikat kos. If you take out how much wine do you need to take out in order to be chayav for transferring in from a private domain to a public domain, enough to pour a proper cup. V'taniyala kedem zikat kos yafe, to pour a nice size cup. My kos yafe, and what is a nice size cup? Kosha bracha. Well, that's a kosha bracha. I'm Rav Nachman. I'm Rav Barbua. Kosha bracha. Tzorech shebo rova revi. Right? And as we learned, that a kosha bracha needs to have a fourth of a revi. Kishim zegen ovi yamod al revi. That way, once they dilute it, because you dilute that strong type of wine, you would have exactly a revi. Ukid rava, because Rava says, Dama rava, kol chamer delo dari al chad tlat maya lav chamerhu. Because if you don't have a 1 in 3 ratio between undiluted wine and water, it's not really proper wine. But what we can see from there is that the minimum amount of wine they're going to be chayav for taking out is a fourth of undiluted wine. And so Rav Yosef assumed that 2/4 of beer would be what you're chayav for. Why would he assume that? V'katani seifa, because we learned in the seifa, v'shar kol hamashkin b'revit, that all other beverages you're chayav b'revit, v'kol shovchin b'revit, and all things you use for diluting would be with a revit. Medatam al chad arba hachanami al chad arba, and from the fact that there was a ratio between the wine and beer of 1/4 because we said a fourth of wine and a full lug of beer. So when we say that by hotzah, so we have to assume that we're maintaining the same ratio when it comes to an eruv, that it should be a fourth. And Rav holds that it's not a fourth of wine by eruv that it's not a fourth of wine by eruv that's a problem. Rather, it is 2/4 of wine by eruv that's a problem, and therefore it would be 2 full lug of beer that's a problem because you maintain the ratio. So, whereas by hotzah, 1/4 of wine is a problem, and therefore a lug of beer is a problem. If it's 2/4 of wine is a problem by eruv, then, I mean, if 2/4 of wine is necessary by eruv, then 2 lug of beer would be necessary by eruv. And that's how you would reach that maskana, velohi. Now, that was an interesting, you know, svara to assume that it would be 2 full lug would be required of beer, but that's not actually the case. Hatamudubatsi ma'achi lochashi. Malacha lo. Right there, by the eruv, what we say is any less than that is really not significant. However, here by eruv, we do not we don't say that. The avi inchi ishatu kasa betzaver betzaver bepanya besamcha ilu vayhu. Right, because we do find that people can just have a cup of beer in the morning, a cup of beer in the evening, and be satiated just by that. So we can we do see that people can subsist on less than less beer than 2 full lug, and for that to then constitute a proper eruv. Tamarim bekama, and when it comes to dates, how many dates do you need to constitute an eruv? Amar Rav Yosef tamarim bekav, you need a kav. Amar Rav Yosef mina aminala, and how do I know that? Tanya achal grugot v'shilim tamarim tavola bracha. If someone ate, dried figs and then he paid back with proper dates, that person should be blessed, meaning he gave back more than he took. Hechidami, now why should he be blessed? Ilema lefi damim, or what is the case here that he should be blessed? Ilema lefi damim, if you ate a certain amount of money's worth of dried figs, and then you gave back that amount of money's worth of dates. Well, you know, if you ate a certain amount and you paid back a certain amount, why are you supposed to be blessed? You just did basically the standard deen, right? You ate a certain amount of money's worth, and you paid back that money. Bezuza achel, bezuza kamashalim. Right? You paid back what you took. El alav, lefi mida. Rather, it wasn't that you took it according to the money, rather you took it according to the weight. Achel mine griva de grod, de shavya zuza, v'kamashalim le gvira de tmarim, de shavya arbaim, arba, v'katam tevo alav bracha, alma tmarim adifi. Right? And rather, the case is like this. You ate a saw of dried figs, and that's worth a zuz, and then you gave back a sa, which is the same weight of dates, and that's worth 4 zuz, right? And about that is the case where it says that you should be blessed, because, so you can see basically from there that we regard dates as far superior to figs. And so if figs are okay with a kav, then we can assume that dates, kal v'chomer, should be okay with a kav. Amar le'abaye le'olam de'achal mine bezuza. Abaye says, really? No, you did eat it by the money and not by the weight. Kamishalim bezuza. Right? And you paid back a zuz. U'mayit avalav bracha. Then why are you blessed for that? De'achal mine midi de'lo kav v'itzali zivine v'kamishalim le midi de'kav v'itzali zivine. Because you ate something that not a lot of people want to buy, and you're paying back with something that people do want to buy. So even though it's the same value, it's just less of a commodity. Shatita, so when it comes to shatita, which is roasted flour and honey dish, Amar Rav Acha bar Pinchas, Ntre Shargushe, you need 2 spoonfuls. Kisani, Amar Abaye, Tre Vune de Pumpadita, and roasted grain, you need 2 measurements of bune from Pampadita, the type of measurement they had in Pampadita. Amar Abaye, Amar Li Em, Hani Kasani Ma'alu Liba Mvatli Mechashava. Abaye said, my mother taught me that these roasted grains are good for the heart and they drive away bad thoughts. Amar Abaye, Amar Li Em. Furthermore, my mother told me, Haiman de Itle Chulsha de Liba, if someone is weakness of heart, Laite Bisra de Atma Yamina de Yarcha, spring raw meat from the thigh of an animal of a ram, but like the kabui de rita de nisan, and you should bring dung of cattle in the month of nisan, ve'i leka kabui de reita like the sugainai de arvta, and if you don't have that, so then just bring twigs, v'nichme v'nechol, and roast the meat on those twigs, and then afterward drink diluted wine, and that's going to help out your heart condition. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, kol shehu liftan, any amount of kidelechobo, right? Any amount of something you would dip something else into, kol sheinu liftan kidelechol himeno, right? And anything that is not something that you would dip into, meaning anything that you dip other foods into, you just need enough of it that you would normally use in dipping two meals worth of food into. That anything which is not dipped into, rather eaten by itself, you need two full meals of that, right? So you think of it like this, like if it's a sauce, you don't need two full meals of sauce. You need the amount of sauce you generally use in two full meals. But if it's not a sauce, then you need two full meals of that thing. Basar chai kedei lechol himenu. Now, live raw meat, you need enough for two meals. Basar tzili, roasted meat, Rabba amar kedei lechobo, Rav Yosef amar kedei lechol himenu. Right? And when it comes to roasted meat, there's machloket as to whether or not you need two full meals of roasted meat, or whether you just need two meals, or the amount of meat that it would generally accompany two meals. And the question is whether we see meat as something that constitutes its own meal, or something that always accompanies a meal of bread. In which case, if you have enough meat that would generally accompany two meals worth of bread, which is not two full meals of meat. I'm Rav Yosef Mina Minala. So Rav Yosef says, how do I know that I'm correct? Dani Parsai Achli Tavake Below Nama. Because Persians eat meat without any bread. So clearly meat is a food unto itself. And so you need two proper meals of it. Amar Lebai, Parzoav, Rubi Dama. Are the Persians most of the world? Are you going to establish it based on their practice? Vatan, they're willing to Mishnah. Vatanan, didn't willing to Mishnah. Big day, Anim, Lanim, Big day, Ashim, Lashirim. That the clothing of poor people, basically clothing of poor people and clothing of rich people have different expensive clothes and inexpensive clothes have different standards for contracting tuma. Now, if the poor person's clothing, or clothing the size of a poor person's clothing, which is smaller, contracts tuma only when it's owned by a poor person. Similarly, a rich person's clothing only contracts tuma at this when it's owned by a poor person. However, a poor person who owned a rich person's garment or vice versa, it would not contract tuma for them because it is customized, right? It's tailored to them. Aval big de ashirim lanim lo, right? So the clothing of rich people, when owned by poor people, don't need to be as big as they would be for the rich people because smaller amounts of clothing are already significant for the poor. So what we see from here is that what the Persians do should impact the Persians' practices. If they eat meat plain without bread, then they should require two meals of meat, but that just should only impact the Persians, just like the rich people's clothing only impact the rich. So, but what the Persians do shouldn't impact our practice if we don't eat meat without bread. And if you want to say like this, right, that either way, we weren't saying that it's always tailor-made to the people. Rather, we're just posking in the chumrah of both sides, like you're held accountable to the Persian practice because it is standard practice, and by clothing we also err on the side of caution. Vatana, then we learn a brighter Rishim ben Lazar Omer Ma'arvin Lecholav Zikne Kde Mizono U Leravtan Besuda Benunit Shel Kol Adam Kasha. Right, we taught that when it comes to making an eruv for a sick person or an old person, it's just as much as they would need, right? And if a person with a particularly large appetite, right, we judge him based on a Beinoni scale, right? So just because someone has a very large appetite and they generally eat more than the average person each meal, that doesn't mean that we require him to be machmir and use two full meals that he would generally eat. Rather, we can hold him to the standard of a normal person. So clearly, we do customize it to the person. We personalize it to them, even when it is not a chumrah, right? So we're going to stop here.